What is good, defenders, and welcome to episode 274 of the, I'll say, the most listened to podcast in the LAFC universe in as many countries. We got, 104 countries that we're up to right now. I got to say, it's a pretty cool honor to be listened to in 104 countries, maybe to be 105 after this. This is fun. This is what we love to do. But it's not a we today. You know my voice. It's the scarf, J.R. Liebert. But unfortunately today, one Christian Philly Philemon, normally live from world-famous Philemonster Studios, is in Ontario, not Canada, but California tonight, prepping to call the USA versus Mexico women's and men's indoor matches. So kudos to him. Panda's there with him as well. I'll be out there tomorrow. If you guys don't have anything to do tomorrow, I just can't wait. This is going to be a whole lot of fun. Tomorrow, September 10th, the USA versus Mexico indoor games out at Toyota Arena in Ontario, California. Philly and Jonathan Reimer will be on the play-by-play, and I will be doing the in-stadium public address announcing. It's going to be so much fun. So head on out there if you can. I hear Aaron Long will be in the building as well. Hopefully he'll be recovered and back from the plane flight from Portland. It was an awful, awful match. I'm in front of the semi-famous scarf wall, and we are going to get right to it. Portland absolutely throttling LAFC 2-0, and it wasn't even that close. A rough match. No Denny Bawanga, no Kike Oliveira, no Stipe Buick, no Daniil Maldonado, no Christian Torres, no Ryan Hollingshead, no Giorgio Chiellini, no grass to be found anywhere, and to be perfectly honest, no excuses. To me, this is one of the more disappointing efforts from LAFC on the season. And to me, our season is in a little bit of jeopardy. Yes, I know we're in third, tied for third, 40 points, well above the playoff line, but there are teams coming. And this last bit of schedule that we have to run through, and I'll go through that after we go through the breakdown of the game, it does not have an easy window at all. Teams will be coming for a playoff spot. Teams always come for this crest for the 2022 defending MLS Cup champion, LAFC. They always show up. Every match is a playoff game for them when they get to BMO, and every match is a marquee matchup when we go to their stadium. So no excuses to be had here. Let's talk about a couple of quick things. Remember, guys, we are part of the Flex family, flexpowertools.com. Head on over to flexpowertools.com for all of your power tool needs. And again, you hear me say this over and over and over again, and I apologize at the top of this episode. You're going to hear nothing but the scarf's voice on this one. But you're going to hear me say this again. Anything you buy right now from flexpowertools.com comes with a full lifetime warranty for everything except the box. What's happening, Mendo? Thank you to everybody showing up in the chat and live as well here on episode 274 as Portland puts LAFC in the wood chipper. This was a rough one, but again, head on over to flexpowertools.com, full lifetime warranty for anything you buy in 2023 that comes inside a Flexbox. The box is not under warranty. Everything else is. Flexpowertools.com. And I want to remind everybody out there that the Mo Fazio Futsal Court fundraising effort is still underway. Please head on over to lafc.com/Mo-Fazio. Get your donations on. I know, obviously, this month is also MLS's Kick Childhood Cancer campaign. You can also head on over to donatekcc.com to make a donation to MLS's Kick Childhood Cancer Initiative. The funds go to the Children's Oncology Group Foundation. Lots of good reasons to donate. You know, if you go over to the donatekcc.com website, you'll see that MLS is asking if you could donate $10 for 10 years of MLS partnering with the Children's Oncology Group Foundation. So if you can go over to donate $10 at donatekcc.com and then head on over to lafc.com/Mo-Fazio to donate $10 there as well. Why not? Usually it's Philly and I going back and forth and seeing what we can one up on each other. But tonight, what we'll do is we'll spread the love. $10 for the Kick Childhood Cancer Campaign and $10, excuse me, for the Mo Fazio Futsal Court Foundation. Again, want to give a quick shout out to everybody out there in Defenders Nation. We got DVelez86 saying, buckle up, people. It'll be a bumpy ride to the playoffs. Yeah, truer words have never been spoken. I am going to get into a full breakdown of our schedule. 8 matches left in LAFC's season, 7 of which will apply to the MLS standings. And of course, Campeones Cup on September 27th against Tigres, our third chance at a trophy this season. How many times does an MLS club get to play for 3 titles, 3 trophies, 3 pieces of silverware in one season? 3 different pieces. We got to come home with at least one of them. We got to come home with the Campeones Cup. Obviously, we fell short in League's Cup and fell short in the Champions League final. We cannot do that when it comes to Tigres and the Campeones Cup. All right. Want to give a shout out also to Cassie Riddle Lopez. If you guys have not seen the new commercial, yeah, gross. If you have not seen the new commercial for MLS on Apple TV, Cassie makes a huge appearance 2 different times. We absolutely love Cassie here on Defenders. We have had Cassie on the podcast, and we love Cassie and Jimmy and all of the LAFC family. So if you haven't checked out the commercial, she's the one in the LAFC kit. Awesome job to the bringer of thunder, one of our drummers in the 3252, Cassie Riddle Lopez. Really cool that she's part of that MLS commercial on Apple TV. Good on her. Let's get into the normal rundown. Usually we have this day in LAFC history, some news and notes, and then a breakdown of the match against Portland. We are not going to have our this day in LAFC history on this episode. We're going to get right into news and notes. And news broke right before the match that we would be making 2 call-ups from LAFC2. Yekas Nsuba and Lorenzo De Valle called up to LAFC before the match against Portland. Yekas Nsuba has been a stalwart for LAFC2 this season, scoring 3 goals in 20 appearances for LAFC2. He has also started both Open Cup matches for the big club for LAFC, and he made his MLS debut against Sporting Kansas City with 13 minutes back on June 13th. So a name that you might be familiar with if you are making sure to pay attention to the bottom part of our roster this season. Yekas Nsuba with 3 different appearances for the big club, as well as 20 for LAFC too. But the name that I think everybody was looking at on the roster for the call-up here from LAFC too was Lorenzo De Valle. The 19-year-old Italian came to LAFC2 by way of the Juventus system. He's made just 1 appearance for LAFC2 this year, playing 69 minutes versus Austin, Texas 2 on September 2. De Valle played with Juve. That's right, Juventus, but not the big club Juventus. U17s, U19s, and the Primavera levels for Juventus. That's their youth club, in addition to a wonderful pasta dish that I enjoy quite a bit. I mean, look at me. He signed with LAFC2 on August 4th, and De Valle was also on the Italian youth squad that won the European Under-19 Championships. They would both be in the 18 tonight. Remains to be seen if they will stick and stay on the roster against Carson for our next match on the 16th, but they were definitely there tonight. They were only in the 18, however. Neither of them played. More on our roster in just a moment. Now I take a sip of Spindrift. I know that I guess I should get one of those cool like LAFC-themed tumblers or something. So, but I mean, hey, I like Spindrift. Why not? To me, it's a yummy drink while I'm having a podcast with all of you. I want to thank everybody who's in the chat right now and everybody who's watching. Cheers. This is for you. All right, so let's check in on one Jose Cifuentes, a quick little segment that we're calling Checking In on Sifu. Despite only being gone a short while, Jose Cifuentes has already played in 6 matches for Rangers. He's played in all 4 Champions League qualifiers, starting 3 of those. He's also started a Scottish League Cup match, and he's played in 1 Scottish Premiership match. Rangers has 3 wins, 2 draws, and a loss in those 6 matches. Unfortunately, in 439 minutes played thus far, he has yet to register a goal or an assist. But He is still getting acclimated to everything over there in Scotland. So we'll be checking in on Jose Cifuentes from time to time. And of course, when Mamadou Fall, if he does start seeing minutes for Barcelona, we'll give you updates on him as well. The Angel City Minute, ACFC's unbeaten run has spanned the entire Becky Tweed era. And as such, they have found themselves right back into the mix of a playoff spot. I'm already calling it Becky Tweed for Coach of the Year if she is able to guide those women to a playoff spot. Just four matches remaining in their NWSL campaign, and ACFC now sits just 2 points back of a playoff spot, and incredibly, just 6 points out of first place in the table. That's right. There's only 4 points separating the bottom of the playoff run and the top of the table. Their next chance to climb the standings comes on Sunday, September 17th in Chicago against the Red Stars. So make sure if you guys, they only have four matches left in the season. I know we bleed black and gold, but you know what? Our roommates at BMO, they're doing pretty good. They're doing wonderful things in NWSL. So make sure you check out ACFC's final four matches of the season. I know Philly is chairman of the McCaskill Mafia. I absolutely love Sarah Gordon. Watching her play on the back line has been really, really fun. I miss Tyler Lucy, and I miss Carrie Ricaro. So those were two of my favorite players that are no longer with us. In fact, I think Carrie might even be on the Chicago Red Stars right now. I've got to go back and take a look. Either way, make sure you guys are checking out ACFC. Big night tonight for LAFC 2. That's right. As the big club was taking on Portland in Portland, LAFC 2 traveled down the 110 to take on Carson at Dignity Health Sports Park, Los Gross Galaxy 2, and a massive, massive win for LAFC 2 tonight as they down our rivals 2-1 behind goals from Christopher Jaime and Jeremy Batioja. The match also marked the debut of Bajung Darbo, who actually has a first-team contract, but is currently playing with LAFC 2. Congrats to LAFC 2 on a huge win. For those of you that have been following, and we have followed every single match of the second club this season, it has not been an easy year for LAFC 2. But in the all-important rivalry, the derby against Carson 2, we take the first year's run of the derby. 2 wins to 1 loss and an 11-5 aggregate. Remember, we blew the doors off of Carson 2, 6-0 last time we played them. This one, 2-1 victory, Christopher Jaime, Jeremy Batioja, and a huge series win for LAFC 2. Just two matches left in their inaugural MLS Next Pro season, including the final home game of 2023 for LAFC 2. Final home game. And I got to figure it out. We got our buddy Carlos Mariscal, who helps us out with everything LAFC 2. We want to give away some tickets to that match. We're going to figure out something in the next couple of days. Make sure you guys are following us on Twitter or X, whatever Elon wants to call it now. Make sure you're following us. We want to give some tickets away to the LAFC 2 home match, our final home match of the first season in MLS Next Pro for LAFC 2. And again, that's Friday, September 15th. Not sure what you guys are doing on Friday, September 15th, but they're taking on Timbers 2, 7 p.m., Titan Stadium, Cal State Fullerton. We're going to talk an awful lot about their season as it comes to a close. But again, huge win tonight for LAFC 2 beating Carson 2 2-1 behind goals from Jaime and Batioja. All right, that's it. That's all we have for news and notes. That's all we have before we rip the Band-Aid off. This is an uncharacteristic under 15-minute start. I guess when it's just a solo scarf pod, this is what you get. We don't get the banter between Philly and I. And for this one, I miss the guy. I really do. But I will pull double duty on this episode in terms of going through the starting lineups. You guys know how we do it. I usually go through the starting lineup for Portland first and then for LAFC. This would be number 18 in the series of LAFC against Portland. That's right. 18 times now we have taken on our rivals to the north. And I do say rivals because I think between Seattle and Portland, I think those you could kind of consider those second tier rivals for us. I don't know if Seattle or Portland consider us rivals. I don't know if I really consider them rivals. It's all about the derby at the end of the day, right? And so Carson, obviously, number one with a bullet. But I think underneath them, it maybe goes Seattle and then Portland. And we just play them a whole lot. We're in the same time zone. We're in the same kind of geographical area and that we're all on the West Coast. So I always kind of circle the matches against Portland. They're always a good litmus test. This would be a very different Portland team. Unfortunately, it would be a similar result than what we have seen up in Providence Park. We just have not played well up there at times. You can blame the turf if you want. I think we were absolutely terrible today, also playing on turf. I don't think it was the turf today that did anything. That being said, Carlos Vela scores an awful lot against Portland. He's scored more against Portland than any player other than Raul Ruy Diaz since 2018. So normally Carlos has his shooting boots on. I think he played well adjacent today, did Carlos Vela. We'll talk a little bit more about how our boys fared today, to be sure, but not a good all-around effort for LAFC. We had a chance to jump Seattle in the standings. We are on 40 points in third place. They are on 41. We did not do that. We had a chance to gain on St. Louis in the standings. They are up 7 points on us. We did not do that. But it was Portland who came in with everything to play for. I believe they were 4 points out of a playoff spot coming into this match. And with Sporting Kansas City losing in front of them, and that's, oh, by the way, Inter Miami winning again, obviously this time without Lionel Messi. He had another absolute golazo on a free kick for Argentina. But Miami now. I mean, look, they're still, 6 points out of a playoff spot, a ton of teams to catch in front of them. But if you're betting right now, are you really betting against Messi and Inter Miami? I'm not. In fact, I want to see what the odds are. I might have to drive over to Vegas, make a little personal wager to see if Miami makes the playoffs. It's going to be really, really interesting. Mendo, I'll talk about Yekas and Suba in just a second, actually. But it's teams on the rise like Portland that see LAFC coming, we do not strike fear into the hearts of any of these clubs right now. We simply don't. We are just another sacrificial lamb on the way to the playoffs for several of these clubs. LAFC coming in on a 2-match losing streak. Obviously, Charlotte and Miami being the last two that vanquished LAFC. The Miami match, a huge one. And we could not bounce back against Portland. I think we looked just as bad against Portland as we did against Miami. More on that in just a second. So let's get into the lineups first for Portland. Led into the game by their interim head man, Miles Joseph. Obviously, Giovanni Savarese being sacked August 21st. The ripples felt throughout Portland. I don't know why that sounded dirty, but it did. So Miles Joseph is our new interim man up in Portland. He is an MLS veteran drafted in the very first MLS draft in 1996. He also earned 3 U.S. men's national team caps, all at the 1996 Olympics. He's been an assistant there in Portland since 2018. And of course, Philly would be upset at me if I did not mention that he played 7 matches with the Dallas Sidekicks of indoor soccer fame. Because, of course, as you know, Philly, the voice of the Empire Strikers in the MASL. So he likes to bring up all things indoor soccer. So Miles Joseph, 3 U.S. men's national team caps, and now taking over after the sacking of Giovanni Savarese on August 21st. According to MLSsoccer.com, they came out in a 4-2-3-1. Missing from this match for Portland would be Yaroslav Nishkoda due to injury, Dario Zuparic for suspension reasons, and Juan Mosquera on international duty. Yeah, Nishkoda is one of their better scorers, but hasn't really performed well this season. But who they had would be plenty against LAFC. And in goal, a little bit of a surprise here with David Bingham. That's right. David Bingham, the former Galaxy starting keeper, gets the nod in goal against LAFC. defender Claudio Bravo starting on the back line, who coming into this match had just one career goal in 82 Timbers matches. More on that in a bit. And defender Larys Mabiala, his last MLS regular season goal was all the way back in 2020. More on that in a little bit. Rounding out the back line, Zach McGraw and Eric Miller. To me, the dirtiest man in Major League Soccer, dirtiest player, I should say, Diego Chara, leading all time, I believe, in fouls, leading all time, I believe, in yellow cards, second, I think, or at least not first, to red card Roger Espinoza in red cards of Sporting Kansas City. But Diego Chara, let me say it right now, for all of you that watched the match, Diego Chara put on a masterclass. Wasn't quite on the back line. He wasn't quite in the midfield. He was everywhere that Portland needed him to be. An absolute masterclass by Diego Chara today. They spent large swaths of the game not even calling his name, and then they spent large swaths of the game talking all about his brilliance and him being wherever and whenever he needed to be for Portland. Diego Chara was great. Mendo calling him the Casemiro of MLS. Easy there. I think that's selling Casemiro a little bit short. But look, if there was an MLS Hall of Fame, Diego Chara is going to be in it. Diego Chara is as good of an MLS player as we have ever had, has played his entire career in Portland. I don't know if they do statues up there or if they just like carve your statue out of a tree or something up there in Portland, whatever they do up in Portland Timbersland. He's going to get something in the Rose City. He is an all-time great up there. That's for sure. So Diego Chara there in the midfield along with Cristian Paredes. Yimi Chara, his brother, on the front line along with Evander. Okay, I want everybody to do me a favor. Go snap a still shot from this game, Portland versus LAFC. Go snap a still shot of Evander. And then go look up the headshot of The Weeknd, the musical artist. I've never seen Evander and The Weeknd in the same place at the same time. I think they might be the same person. I was watching and I kept thinking to myself, who does Evander look like? And towards the second half, I realized Evander is actually The Weeknd. The Weeknd is pretty talented, incredible musician, great producer. I didn't know he could actually play forward in Major League Soccer as well. Go ahead and check it out. Evander and The Weeknd. I'm here to tell you they're the same person. Santiago Moreno and Felipe Mora rounding out the lineup for Portland in the 18. In the 18, they're bringing guys like Dairon Asprilla, Frank Bolli, Sebastian Blanco off the bench. Sebastian Blanco was once an MLS MVP contender. Frank Bolli is the second leading scorer on the team. Dairon Asprilla was my pick to click and the third leading scorer on the team. And they're bringing these guys off the bench along with a kid named Anthony who wears number 80, stole Philly's number. I do have to mention, also on the bench for Portland, but not used today, was Noel Kaliskan. Noel Kaliskan. And why am I mentioning Noel Kaliskan? Well, it's simple. Noel Kaliskan went to Loyola Marymount University. That's right. The same university that the Scarf attended. So I got to give a quick shout out to Noel Kaliskan. Drafted in this last year, super draft, signed a first team contract, was in the 18, did not play, but I was really looking forward to seeing Noel Kaliskan play. He didn't do it. And even though he's wearing that Portland Forest green, I would still root for a good career for Noel Kaliskan out of LMU. That's the 18. For the Portland Timbers, for LAFC in our 4-3-3. Let's talk about who we didn't have first because, hijo de madre, there were a lot of big names out for LAFC. I know it said that they were questionable, but once the 18 came out, you did not see the names of Giorgio Chiellini or Ryan Hollingshead. And I know Hollingshead has had a little bit of an up and down season so far. He has scored some big goals for us, scored in consecutive matches for us. Giorgio Chiellini. And look, this is Scarf talking here. It's only Scarf talking here on this episode. You've already figured that out by now. To me, Giorgio Chiellini is the most important player now on LAFC. It is crazy to think that a 38-year-old, soon to be 39-year-old defender is the most important player on LAFC, but we play different. We look different. We act different. Our back line carries themselves a little bit more poise. We stay in a little bit better shape. The passing out of the back is so much better. I mean, I don't know how many passes we might have connected out of the back today. We connected a whole crap ton of passes. We passed at like an 85% clip on the match, but to where? How many of those were progressive? How many of those were moving us forward? And how many of them were just backwards passes or sideways passes so we could stay in possession? Maybe without Denny Bawanga, we wanted to keep possession a little bit more. But, oh man, just nothing moving forward without Giorgio Chiellini. We are a vastly different club. All due respect to Denny Bawanga and his 5,000 goals this season. All due respect to the captain, Carlos Vela. I firmly do believe that Giorgio Chiellini is our most important player. And if you think I'm wrong, tell me why I'm wrong. Tell me why our defense looks so different. Tell me why I feel like we play with a much better shape. Tell me why I'm wrong if Giorgio Chiellini is not the most important player. Unfortunately, what we also know that Giorgio Chiellini is not is a player who plays on turf. So there would be no Giorgio Chiellini, no Ryan Hollingshead, both out to lower body extremity injuries. I mean, that just sounds rough. I don't know what a lower body extremity injury is, but, you know, I've had one just recently, and, you know, I'm ready to go. So let's see what happens. Denny Bawanga, Kike Oliveira, Daniel Maldonado, Stipe Buke, and Christian Torres. All five of those players. Denny Bawanga, Kike Oliveira, Daniel Maldonado, Stipe Buke, and Christian Torres, all out on international duty. Look, it's a rough stretch. And when you're down, those five guys, plus Hollingshead and Chiellini, lots and lots and lots and lots of players. That's still no excuse. It's got to be next man up. And we'll talk about who those next men were right now. Goalkeeper John McCarthy. John will be the first to tell you. John will be the first to tell you that that first goal is absolutely on him. He even was a little hesitant on the second goal. I thought he might have been able to come out a little bit farther, maybe cut off the angle a little bit more. But that first goal, that was rough. That was a rough first goal let in by John McCarthy. Obviously, last year's MLS Cup MVP and a player who has played extremely well for us this season at times. But that was a rough goal. On the back line, we know Ryan Hollingshead means that Sergi Palencia gets the start. And you know what? Sergi has played great for us this season. I didn't think he had a particularly great game today. But I think that Sergi has been a wonderful fill-in and a third man on the wing for LAFC. Starting opposite him, of course, Cheeky Palacios back and getting a full 90 again, which is really great to see. I do love Cheeky Palacios. I hope everything is okay with the family issue that he was having. And the midfield pair, backline pairing of Aaron Long and Jesus Murillo. I don't know. They didn't do anything for me. They really didn't do anything for me. Aaron Long and Jesus Murillo on the back line. The midfield of Kellen Acosta, Ilya Sanchez, and Timothy Tillman got outplayed. They just straight got outplayed. Kellen Acosta, Ilya Sanchez, Timothy Tillman. Since Timothy Tillman has come back from injury, I feel like he is Laurent Simon after coming back from the World Cup and Vincent Kompany taking his spot at the last minute and getting healthy. When Laurent Simon came back, he was never the same player. Something's going on with Timothy Tillman, man. I love Timothy Tillman. Timmy is one of the nicest players on the team. He's a really good dude. That doesn't cut it in a professional setting, though. Unfortunately, Timothy Tillman, I mean, I feel like when the ball goes to Tillman right now, the ball slows down. Look, one of my favorite players of all time is Carmelo Anthony. I am a Syracuse guy through and through. It's one of the few players that Philly and I can both agree on because the former Nick, Carmelo Anthony. But the one thing that you can always say about Carmelo Anthony, he was kind of a black hole. When the ball got to him, it really never left, and the ball slowed down quite a bit. I feel like Timothy Tillman, the ball is starting to slow down. He's starting to have too many giveaways. He's playing at a different speed than everybody else in black and gold, or in this case, those awful, awful, green smokescreen kits. I'm sorry, guys. This is Scarf. I don't like them. I've never liked those smokescreen kits from day one. I don't think we play like LAFC. We lose that little bit of swagger that we have. I don't know, man. I don't like those kits. We haven't played well in them almost all season. I don't know. It's rough. On the front line, Mati Bogusz, Mario Gonzalez allegedly played in this match. Carlos Vela on the front line. Toby is not a fan of Timothy Tillman right now. Carlos Vela played fine. Mati Bogusz was the player of the match by far, mainly because he inserted himself into the action, giggity, every single chance he could. I absolutely love the effort from Mateusz Bogusz tonight. I think he is showing why at just, 19, 20 years old, he is special. I think he is going to be very, very, very good, not just in this league, but he is not long for Major League Soccer. All right, let's talk about the 18, you guys. Let's take Maxime Crépeau, who's 29 years old, and Danny Chrysostomo, who's 26 years old, out of the 18. If you take those two players out of the 18, let me give you the ages of everybody else in the 18. And think about, as I'm talking about the ages of everybody else in the 18, think about where your experience comes from in this 18. In this 18, you have Filip Krashtev, who's 21 years old, who's been here for a handful of matches. You have Julian Gaines, who's 20 years old, who's come up and down and been in our system now for quite some time, but he's still only 20. You got the two new guys who we brought in just for today's match, Yexen Suba and Lorenzo De Avalle. They're both 19. 19. Yes, we're getting younger, folks. You got Tony Leone, the only one of the original three homegrown signings who has never suited up and played for LAFC at 19 years old. Nathan Ordaz at 19 years old and Eric Duaneus at 18 years old. Most of our bench could not go out for an IPA in Portland after the match. Eric Duaneus, Nathan Ordaz, Tony Leone, Julian Gaines, Yexen Suba, Lorenzo De Avalle. Well, Lorenzo De Avalle has probably gone out plenty over in Italy, but they couldn't go out in Portland to get one of those IPAs. They showed Will Ferrell drinking a Lagunitas. I couldn't do it. Not in Portland. I'm not drinking Lagunitas. They have plenty of other good IPAs in Portland. I'm just not an IPA guy either way. But 18, 19, 19, 21, 20, 19, 19. Remember, guys, Sebastian Blanco, Frank Boley, and Dairon Asprilla are coming off the bench for Portland. And here we are extremely shorthanded, and we are literally bringing in teenagers, to try and save the day for the defending MLS Cup champions. Yeesh. All right, let's get into it. It was as boring and frustrating of a first half as I can remember in quite some time. Not a lot going on for LAFC in this first half, my friends. We had a little give and go from Mati to Mario and back to Mati Bogusz again. It was a little bit of a light touch. They did not call it a shot on goal, but David Bingham corralled it anyway to thwart any type of danger that there might have been. And that was 7 minutes in. First 6 minutes, you could have taken a nap. You could have got to the TV a little bit late. Your internet could have been buffering and you would have missed absolutely nothing. In the 11th minute, I really like Santi Moreno to Mora. Moreno was everywhere for Portland. Mora pushing it well wide was really good buildup down the left side. And we would see them kind of pick on that side all match. Evander with a one-timer on the 13th minute, same side there on the left, top of the box, but well high. Again, I'm just saying it. Evander in the weekend, same person. And honestly, I don't have any notes, guys, from the 13th minute all the way to the 26th. There just wasn't a whole ton that I liked. We had a couple turnovers. We held possession for a whole bunch. But up until the 26th minute, there was no real action. And unfortunately, all the action now is provided by Portland. No idea what John McCarthy is doing as he totally whiffs on this ball. Aaron Long has to play it out for a corner. And the first corner led to nothing. I mean, I don't know what John was doing. Just couldn't get to the ball to get – he got beat by Felipe Mora. Maybe it's because the ball bounced a little bit differently on turf. Maybe John lost his footing. But it was Paredes to Mora. And if not for Aaron Long, we give up a goal right there. Right there. And then Gomez Jr., stick with me on that comment. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. We play very well on the first corner, but in the 28th minute, it's another corner, back-to-back corners for Portland. And John McCarthy, you're not going to put this on your highlight reel, my friend. I don't know what happened. I don't know how the ball got in between your hands or you just missed it on the two-handed punch, the two-fisted punch, giggity, but didn't touch the ball almost at all. Maybe it hit a fingertip of a glove or something. And Larrys Mabiala gets his head to a bouncing ball. I want to know in the chat, you guys, we got plenty of people that are interacting in the chat right now. Gomez Jr., I like what you're saying in the chat right now about the next match being a must win. Aside from it being a derby, it's definitely a must win either way. But I want to know what you guys think in the chat. We're going to talk about Gomez Jr.'s comment that you can see on the screen in just a little bit. I want to know what you think. Was that a push on Larrys Mabiala? Should that have been a goal? Did Ilie get cleaned out? Should Ilie have been a little tougher in that situation, like the broadcaster said? But, Gomez, I love that comment too. The broadcaster said that Ilie should have been tougher. I'm sitting here screaming that it's a foul in the box, that Mabiala just cleaning out Ilie Sanchez. I don't know. What do you guys think? Was that a foul? Should the goal have counted? Not that it would have mattered anyway, because it's not like we lost 1-0. We lost 2-0. And we lost to a team that outplayed us. But I'm just saying, maybe that changes the complexion. Nah, it doesn't change. It doesn't even change the complexion. I'm trying to figure out a way to justify the fact that maybe that hurt us a little bit. But to me, it doesn't hurt us at all. That's just to me, though. I don't know. 30th minute. I really think LAFC dominated after the goal. LAFC dominated the run a little bit. I liked it. I liked the way we closed out the half. I really do. 30th minute, Ilie to Carlos Vela over the top. He bodies it off of the post. It was a little awkward. It wouldn't have counted anyways. But what I like is that he kept his momentum going forward. I like that we responded just a couple of minutes. Actually, I think it was our first bit of possession after getting the ball back off the kickoff. I like that we responded and we kept responding. 32nd minute, Mateusz Bogusz doing a great job to get it to Cheeky on the left, fought through a couple of guys. I love that Mati Bogusz plays standing up. He runs right through it. I like what Gomez, I like what you're saying there. I'm going to put it on the screen. Mati does a wonderful job to get that ball over to Cheeky Palacios. Cheeky plays it right back to Mati and he takes a curler with the right foot, but it's just well wide. Loved the effort from Mati Bogusz. Again, all night, I really enjoyed the way that Mati played. I'll be perfectly honest. I think he was, to me, the best player on the pitch for LAFC tonight, and it wasn't even close. Cheeky earning a corner in the 33rd minute by running down a ball and banging it off a Portland defender. Great job. And Kellen Acosta's corner kick finds Ilie Sanchez. He kind of heads it over the bar. It wasn't the best spot, but at least, again, after the goal, 28th minute, we start to feel a little more dangerous. Really liked the way that we played after we gave up the goal. And Gomez Jr., I agree. Mati Bogusz is my starting and finishing midfielder is what he says. Yeah, I mean, we couldn't play him at midfield tonight. We just weren't deep enough. But I thought he played much better on the front line than he had given opportunities earlier in the season. Now, in the 37th minute again, Mati with the ball over the top looking for Mario. It's just too tall. But again, Mati, whether he's bringing the ball forward off of his foot, whether he's making runs into the box, or now on this play in the 37th minute where Mati is putting the ball over the top and making us seem far more dangerous, these are all good things that we are seeing from Mati Bogusz. In the 38th, it's Mati putting one well over the bar after a nice little give and go from Mati to Timothy Tillman and back to Mati. But again, I feel like I'm saying Mati Bogusz's name a whole ton. In the 43rd minute, you have Carlos on a break, and we can all remember what Carlos looked like last match after not getting the ball on a break. He was furious with Denny Bawanga. And Denny, you know what? You made the wrong choice, and that's fine. But here, Carlos needs to be a little bit more aggressive. He tried to play it back to Mario Gonzalez, who, again, was allegedly on the field at the time. He tries to play it back to Mario Gonzalez in the middle instead of taking the shot. Also, later in that same 43rd minute, Mario Gonzalez making an absolute mess of it right in the box, dead center, can't control the ball. We need him to just put it down on one of the 2 feet. You got two of them, a right one and a left one. Just bring it down and take a shot. Instead, the ball pinballs off of his body and away, and taken away by a Portland defender. So frustrating. And on the counter, by the way, on that play, John McCarthy has to make a save on an absolute rocket by Santiago Moreno. There would be no stoppage time. And that would be it for the half. LAFC going down 1-0, despite controlling the lion's share of possession with 62% of it, despite passing at an extremely efficient 84%. I just continue to ask the question, sure, we can pass and string things together at 84%, but if none of them are progressive and none of them are inside the attacking third or in the 18, or especially in the sixth, I mean, come on. We're not doing anything with all these passes. In that first half, we just looked just inept, inert. No drive going forward. No danger in our possession. Just not a lot going on. No shots on target. Just, I believe, 3 total shots in the half. No shots on target. So the second half starts. We make no changes. I thought we went out there with 10 men. But again, from what I have heard, Mario Gonzalez was still playing for us at the time. And in the 49th minute, a perfect, perfect free kick from the right side. Evander puts this on a dime. And if Larice Mabiala is an offensive player rather than a backline guy, I'm almost positive he gets his head on this and puts it into the back of the net. Larice Mabiala would have had a brace against us people, a brace if he was anybody other than Mabiala. Definitely neither of my choice or Philly's in the match as our picks to click, but he was absolutely clicking against LAFC and almost had 2 goals, a beautiful free kick by Evander. In the 50th minute, Muri, you are going to be seeing Yimi Chara in your sleep, absolutely burnt by Yimi down that left side. And again, they continue to attack the left side, but his cross was tipped away by Aaron Long at the very last minute. Evander got on his bicycle and tried to hit one, but unfortunately couldn't get anything on it. Or I should say, fortunately for us. I mean, I would love to see a bicycle kick goal, but that was not to be there from Evander. In the 52nd minute, I really enjoyed the fight from Carlos Vela. If you go back and watch, I think Carlos Vela fought for possession more times than he normally does in this match today. I think he did a really good job earning that ball 1v1. And his cross to Mati finds Bogush, but it's headed well high. It was a good cross. Matty just couldn't get it on frame, unfortunately. And of course, in the 53rd minute, a comedy of errors inside the box. An absolute comedy of errors inside the box. I don't know what we're doing. But LAFC caught out again, and it's a turnover from the midfield. Claudio Bravo, guys. Claudio Bravo, of all people, really? Yimi Chara crashing in, causing havoc inside the box. Then he finds Santi Moreno. Santi Moreno finds Claudio Bravo. John was kind of hung out 1v1. I do not put this one on John McCarthy. There were 4 or 5 guys in front of him that should have at least just tried to poke the ball away and clear it. Instead, everybody fell down as if we were playing on ice and they were playing on turf. It was awful. Awful effort there from our back line, from our defensive unit. I can't believe it. It's just so frustrating that it seemed like in this match, a couple of the bounces bounced their way. But also, look, they did more with their limited opportunities. It's not like Portland was creating chance after chance after chance after chance. But with this little chance that they had off of a turnover from the midfield, and again, one of my keys is LAFC had to win the midfield. You can even lose some matches 2-0 and still win the midfield. I believe that wholeheartedly. This was not one. Our midfield got torched. Absolutely torched. We couldn't lose the midfield. I said that. We couldn't lose the midfield. And we absolutely did today. So now we're down 2-0 with a little bit more than an hour to go. And again, LAFC tried to respond. I feel like we did. We tried to respond. 56th minute, Carlos Vela to Sergi Palencia. His cross, unfortunately, Sergei Palencias puts it through the box, but there's nobody there on the back post. Nobody there. So we can't do anything. Again, allegedly, Mario Gonzalez played. Allegedly. In the 57th minute, it's a bad yellow by Kellen Acosta as he tried to pull back the weekend. I mean, Evander. But the ref says play on, and we absolutely dodge a bullet as Ilya gets fouled by Yimi Chara in this buildup to a goal. I thought John McCarthy was in a very, very, very good position there. I thought that was good by John. And we get lucky that Ilya gets fouled. The play ends, and then Kellen Acosta whistled for the yellow that he knew he had coming. I mean, look, the weekend has a whole security detail. You can't just touch him like that and pull him back. But it was, I guess that's what they call a professional foul, Kellen Acosta's yellow card, except it wasn't because the referee allowed a play on. So it's a really silly yellow card in the grand scheme of things because it's not one that we needed, and it's not one that even changed the course of the play. The run of play just kept going, really frustrating. This is frustrating right now, guys. I'm not going to lie. I was very, very frustrated at this point. You hit the hour mark, and it was a long shot right at Bingham. And I believe in the 60th minute, that long shot right at Bingham was our first shot on target. First shot on target. 60 minutes in. I know, guys. I know no Denny Bawanga. No Stipe Buick. Doesn't really register in the same way. No Stipe Buick. No Kike Oliveira. I love Kike Oliveira. I can imagine us playing a formation somehow. We got to figure out how this works, you guys. Maybe you can walk me through it. But if we can get Nathan Ordaz, Mati Bogus, and Kike Oliveira all on the pitch at the same time, the dynamism of those three players, that wiggle, that little bit of extra something that they have, or maybe, you know, Ordaz comes in a little bit later off the bench, but Kike Oliveira and Mati Bogus on the pitch, maybe it's too much razzle dazzle. Maybe it's too much wiggle. Maybe it's too much sizzle, not enough steak. I don't know, but I want to see what happens. If we get Kike Oliveira and Mati Bogus on opposite sides of each other, I think that could be so much fun. Those guys have a lot to give, obviously. No Oliveira today because of international duty, and Mati looked really, really good. But what I do know is that Mario Gonzalez wasn't it. In the 60th minute, Ilya with a through ball that just misses, and maybe Mario shuts me up right there. If that through ball from Ilya gets onto the foot of Mario Gonzalez, maybe it's different. Maybe. But it wasn't. The pass misses Mario. It goes wanting. And that would be it for Mario Gonzalez on the day. 64th minute, flashing forward four more minutes. Kellen Acosta, Mario Gonzalez come out, and Fufu Krushtev and Nathan Ordaz come on. So 64th minute, Steve trying to do something because Mario wasn't it today. Unfortunately, Kellen did not have a great game. Someone let me know that Mario Gonzalez actually played those 64 minutes. Where was he for most of the match? 64 minutes of just dead air for Mario Gonzalez. I don't know. I know he wears the number 9 shirt, you guys, and I'm trying to lead the Mario motorcade. I am trying to do what I can for Super Mario to find his invincibility star, his one-up, or at least the freaking Tanuki suit at this point. Something for Mario Gonzalez, but it is just not there right now. He is nowhere to be found out on the pitch. I'm hoping he gets one early, maybe against Carson. Maybe he can start to feel himself a little bit, but yeesh, not great. Not great. Ugh. 66th minute counter by Portland as Fufu Krushtev fell down, and Murray does a great job to force the bad touch, and John collects the ball. Really good defending by Murray in the 66th minute. And on the counter there, after John restarts that ball, I really liked Mati Bogus again. A diving save from distance off of a Mati Bogus shot. Great save by David Bingham, but an even better effort. I really like Mati keeping us honest. That used to be what Jose Cifuentes used to do, right? Keeping everybody honest from the midfield, from a little bit of distance there. A beautiful shot by Mati there in the 66th minute. 67th, again, great pressure by LAFC, but the cross is just too high for the header by Vela. Dairon Asprilla, my pick to click for Portland, comes in the 67th minute for Santi Moreno. I really like the battle between Dairon and Cheeky in the corner just a minute later. But after that, Cheeky was down for a little bit. And all I thought was, oh, God, if Cheeky's down, maybe we see Julian Gaines. Maybe we see Julian Gaines playing left back. He's done it for LAFC, too. He can certainly do it for LAFC. But we are not deep at the wing back position, especially with Ryan Hollingshead injured. Portland offside in the 72nd minute, but definitely made you think just a little bit. And in the 73rd, Evander cooking Murillo this time twice. And his cross played out by Fufu for a corner. We couldn't get anything on it. But Frank Bolli and Sebastian Blanco coming off the bench in the 74th minute. We're bringing teenagers on, and they're bringing their second leading scorer, Frank Bolli, and a former MVP candidate in Sebastian Blanco. Felipe Mora and Yimi Chara coming off. And in the 76th minute, a huge save, massive save by John McCarthy. Look, you might not have had your best match, John, but this save is one for the highlight reel off of a turnover. A great ball over the top to Sebastian Blanco, who finds Frank Bolli, but it is a massive save from John McCarthy. Out for a corner, and off the corner finds the head of Zach McGraw, but that header right at John McCarthy. So having to make two quick saves there in succession. LAFC's set-piece defense was just not great today. Really, really not good. In the 78th, I did notice something on the corner because they showed the angle from behind the goal that in the 78th minute, they decided to put Murillo on Mabiala on these corners in the middle. There would be no pushing Murillo out of the way he did with Ilya Sanchez. Another corner in the 79th minute, but they played it short, so nothing there. 81st minute, man, I just felt like we looked unmotivated. I wrote down, 81st minute, we look unmotivated. And it's not tired legs, it's not jet lag, it's not playing on turf. We just looked like we didn't know what the hell to do. We looked awful. 82nd minute, a yellow on Christian Paredes as he fouls Vela as he comes through the top of the box. A free kick, and I was hoping we'd see some Carlos Vela magic here, maybe channeling his inner Messi against, who did they just do, Bolivia, right? Argentina, Messi from about that same spot, curled one in, and you're thinking, all right, Carlos, maybe it's time for some magic from El Rey, but no, it's just over the top of the bar. It would have been a scarf goal, too, in the 83rd minute. That goal would have been to me, but no. Carlos couldn't do it. 84th minute, Eric Duanez for Ilya Sanchez. And my love for Eric Duanez knows no bounds. Ilya did not have his best game tonight. Eric Duanez really not asked to do a whole lot. Antony coming on for Christian Paredes as well. 5 minutes of stoppage yielded one tough angled shot from Mati Bogush. And that was it. Stoppage time of 5 minutes. And while we did control possession, I think we wound up keeping it at 62, maybe 63% for the match. While we passed at an incredibly accurate 85%, to where? What did those passes do? Absolutely nothing. We lose 2-0 to Portland, and it wasn't even that close. And now, let me know what you guys think about this. Two things I want to know about this episode. Was that a push on Larrys Mabiala? And for all of you in the chat right now, got another question for you. How do we feel about this Carson versus St. Louis matchup? Carson versus St. Louis. Now, if St. Louis wins, it really hurts Carson's chances at a playoff spot. But if Carson wins, it helps us by keeping them at 7 points ahead rather than going to maybe 10. And I don't think we're catching a team that's 10 points up on us with just 7 matches to go. Not the way we're playing right now and not with the schedule that I'm about to unroll for you in just a second. Are we rooting for a draw? Are we not rooting for Carson to lose? Are we still, is it always just Carson loses and everything else will figure itself out? I don't know. I don't know how I feel. I don't know what I should feel. I don't know. Root for injuries. I don't know. I don't really ever root for injuries. I guess root for a draw. Draw doesn't really help anybody. A draw only keeps them at 8 points ahead of us. I don't know how to feel, guys, but Carson St. Louis. That's all right. Gomez says Carson loses. We just keep digging the hole deeper. I'm all for it. They're playing much better as of late, guys. They're not that far from the playoffs, but I think they're, what, 5 points back, maybe six of a playoff spot. They're close. They're closer than we think. I'll be watching the game somehow. St. Louis against Carson in Carson. I'll be watching on my phone. I'll be out at Ontario calling the match USA versus Mexico. I'm not calling the match, excuse me, doing the PA announcing in the stadium. Philly and Jonathan will be calling the match. I love the effort from Matty Bogusz tonight. Absolutely love the effort from Mateusz Bogusz. Carlos Vela was fine. Other than that, it was a rough performance. I'm glad to see Cheeky get a solid 90 minutes. Not a great game from John McCarthy. Our midfield looked dead, slow, uninspired, and with the exception of maybe a ball or two from Ilya, just not able to put anything forward. And again, I've been told Mario Gonzalez played significant minutes in this match. The jury is still out on that one. We know our next match, Saturday, September 16th at BMO. Carson comes to town. Circle the damn wagons, LAFC. Circle the damn wagons. We got to do better. We've got to do more. Carson is the benchmark. We don't lose these matches. And yeah, I'll admit this. It's Scarf again. Hi. I was wrong about the Open Cup match and playing the kids and letting all the chips stay on the table, letting it ride. I was wrong. You'd never take a derby match less seriously than it being the most important match of your season. You never do that. These matches, we should consider them trophy opportunities because I know that Carson feels that way too. We need to absolutely circle the damn wagons and make it happen against Carson. They're coming into BMO Stadium, into our house. We must defend the bank. That's right. Defend it. None of this stuff. I mean, look at Portland. Portland has one win on the road all season, but when it comes to home, this is their seventh win. They know how to defend Providence Park. We need to do the same with BMO. We need to do the same. We are now third in the West. We remain third in the West. 7 points back of St. Louis, tied for third. Seattle's still ahead of us, 41 points. We missed out on an opportunity to close the gap on St. Louis, jump Seattle, get 3 points to keep us even farther away from that playoff line. And we only have 8 matches left until the playoffs, you guys. And get this. Are you ready for the scariest part of our schedule? It is a hard push to decision day. From our match against Carson, September 16th. You ready for this? From September 16th, we play 7 matches in 22 days. 7 matches in 22 days. And I want to go all the way back to a comment. All the way back to a comment. From Gomez Jr. Here we go. Gomez Jr. says, if we don't win against Carson, we can drop anywhere from 5th to 7th place. And there's a legit chance. This is Gomez Jr. talking here. I know it's Scarf's. I mean, he's not really talking. I'm talking. It's Scarf. Hello. But he says there's a chance LAFC might not make the playoffs if we continue like this. Might not make the playoffs. Well, if we bring up the standings right now, live standings, MLSsoccer.com, as I try and stall because the internet is a little slow. If we bring up the standings, we've got some real trouble brewing. We are, as of right now, 3rd place, 27 matches played. Now, Seattle's played 28, so that does help us out a little bit. But of course, we are on 40 points. The playoff line is only 34 points, folks. Only 34 points. We're only 6 points above the playoff line. And everybody else is trying to catch us. Now, do I think we'll drop down below that many teams? I don't. I don't at all think that. But if we go on a run of form where we only have a couple of draws in our next couple MLS home matches, our MLS league matches. If we only have a couple of draws and we get to 42, and let's say Vancouver wins the 2 of their next 2 matches. Well, if we're at 42 and they win 2 matches, they're ahead of us at 44. If Houston takes on, I believe it's St. Louis in their next match. Houston wins that match. They go to 42 points. They go to 42. San Jose gets on a little bit of a heater. They win their next two matches. They're now on 43 points. There's not a lot of room for error here for LAFC. More importantly, we want to finish top four to earn a home match. We need to finish top four to earn a home match. But we're only 1 point ahead of Houston on 39 points for fifth. We're only 2 points ahead of Vancouver in sixth. We're only 3 points ahead of Minnesota and San Jose in seventh and eighth. There's a little bit of gap there then to Dallas at 34 points in the ninth and final playoff spot. But you can't tell me that with our current run of form, now losing three in a row and 12 of our last 21, 12 losses in our last 21 matches. You can't tell me that this run of form is inspiring, folks. You can't tell me that it's inspiring. I don't know. I know this is a lot of doom and gloom on a podcast. You're like, God, we got to get Philly back in here. Philly was the one pissed off last time. But I'm telling you right now, there's some consternation in the world of the black and gold. And to me, this is as critical of a stretch as we have ever had in LAFC. As critical of a stretch as we have ever had. This is going to determine whether or not we just make the playoffs or we are cup contenders. This is going to determine whether the league should begin to be taking us as seriously as they have done over our first 5 years, or if we're just a destination match for a lot of other clubs on their way to decision day. We got to get our swagger back. Stella's got to get her groove back. We've got to figure out what's going on, because these last three matches, and frankly, our last 21 matches, where we now have lost 12 of 21, I believe. This is not LAFC from last year, but this is barely even LAFC from the beginning of the season. I want to say we started out, what, 8 matches unbeaten? This is not good. This is not good. Mendo doesn't even like hearing this conversation. this is not fun. But that being said, the ball is still in our court. It's still on our grass, not turf. It's still up to us. We beat Carson. We put a lot of problems in our rear view. We beat Tigres. We put a Campeones Cup trophy. I think there's a trophy for it, right? Something in our case. We can really change the narrative over the course of these next few matches. And yes, we have road matches against Philadelphia coming up. And we have a match against St. Louis coming up. We have some tough matches to end the season. I think Vancouver is our decision day team. Tough matchup. We've got to start stacking some wins. We've got to start stacking some points. And we've got to take that trophy from Tigres and the Campeones Cup. We can't lose to León, lose to Monterrey, and lose to Tigres and expect anybody across the world to take us seriously, let alone in CONCACAF. We cannot expect teams to consider us a juggernaut if in the same season we don't just lose matches, but we lose trophies to León, Monterrey, and Tigres. Those are three very good teams, don't get me wrong. But if you want to be known as an MLS power, if you want to be known as a CONCACAF power, you don't have seasons where you lose three trophies to three different Liga MX teams. You just don't. Look, this is episode 274. We've got kind of a big one, I guess, coming up next, right? 275, just 25 away from 300. That's kind of fun. We're going to find a way to give away some tickets, you guys, to the final home LAFC 2 match of their maiden voyage. We're going to find a way to give away some tickets. I'm going to talk to Carlos Mariscal. We're going to see what we can do. We're going to give away some tickets, you guys. Either way, I'm sorry. Sorry you had to hear just scarf on this one. To me, not the way I'd want to do it, but Philly's out there getting his groove on in Ontario. I'm going to join him at about 10 a.m. tomorrow morning. You guys can stream those matches as well. I think they're on Twitch, or I think they're on MASL's Twitch channels. I don't know. I'm trying to look it up real quick to tell you how you can catch the USA versus Mexico indoor games, the women's game, and then the men's game as well. These are going to be a lot of fun, you guys. This is cool. I'm really looking forward. Lauren Sesselman, Sess Money. If you guys don't know Lauren Sesselman, that's going to be a lot of fun. I think Giselle Thompson might be playing in the women's match as well. Alyssa Thompson's sister. That could be fun. So if you're there, women's game, 1 p.m., men's game, 5 p.m. Mendo, I love you, man. That's since the Dudley boys. Is that a compliment? What just happened here? No, I like it. That's fun. Look, it's been a fun episode, guys. You had to listen to me for about 65 minutes. I think I totally forgot our intro and outro and all of this because, you know, I don't have Nina or Panda producing these things. Philly normally handles a lot of this as well. I'm just the talent, you know. They just trot me out here, speak, talk. I love you guys. I appreciate you, Gomez. Listen, I don't want to say a big thank you. There are now actually more people watching now than there were at the start of this. I want to say a big thank you to the millions and millions out there who continue to join us for 274 episodes. Even the solo scarf ones that have to talk about a 2-0 loss to Portland. I appreciate every single one of you. We appreciate every single one of you. We love you guys, and we'll be back for 275, very next episode, in just a week. I love you guys, and you know how we like to end all of our episodes. Bye-bye.